Support for FAQ City comes from WFAE members and Bojangles. For over 40 years, Charlotte-based Bojangles has provided biscuits from scratch, hand-breaded fried chicken, and freshly steeped iced tea. More info on the 48-step biscuit-making process at bojanglesbiscuits.com.
How do you face tragedies? I mean, when the world thrusts you into circumstances that feel hopeless, how do you respond? Well, for the residents of one town in North Carolina that faced a deadly polio outbreak in the summer of 1944, the answer was to band together and work relentlessly toward a solution, no matter how dire the circumstances seemed. That's coming up on this episode of FAQ City. It's one of our favorite stories from 2019. Stay tuned. Hey guys, it's Nick Della Canal, and I'm here with our question asker this week.
I'm Austin Drake, and I'm from Hickory, North Carolina, so question close to my heart.
Yeah, tell me about this. You actually grew up in Hickory, you now live in Charlotte, and you just recently came across this story of the miracle of Hickory?
Yeah, so I was listening to an episode of FAQ City, and I heard that y'all were looking for questions about Hickory. So I was kind of thinking, I'm like, what do I want to learn about Hickory? And so I started like Googling some stuff and came across this miracle of Hickory, and I thought it was so strange that I had grown up there and I never heard of this seemingly big historical event that happened in Hickory.
Yeah.
So I was curious about it.
So what is it about this story that makes you want to know more about it?
I think it was just a significant thing about Hickory. Hickory doesn't have a huge amount of significant things growing up there. So it was something that I was really curious about, just kind of knowing just more about the history of the city I grew up in, especially something that I'd never heard of before. So kind of piqued my interest in that sense.
Well, before we get started, a few quick facts about Hickory in case you've never been. It's a small city of about 40,000 people. It's named for a pub built beneath a hickory tree. And while it's mostly known for its furniture industry, the city is also remembered by some for its widespread polio outbreaks in the 30s and 40s. But it's no surprise that not everyone today remembers.
Generationally, as the thing passed, a lot of people tried to forget it because Polio City was the name that was synonymous with Hickory. So they did everything they could in the late 40s and early 50s to try to get rid of it.
This is Richard Eller.
I am the historian in residence for the Historical Association of Catawba County.
He also teaches at Catawba Valley Community College, and he co-authored a book and produced a documentary on this subject. So he's going to help us remember what was perhaps one of the most pivotal moments in Hickory's history. And it all starts in the early summer of 1944.
Well, it hits the papers right at the front of June.
Possible polio case, treated, is the headline. The story, a local toddler had contracted the disease and had been sent to Charlotte to get treatment.
So when this first one happens, people are a little wary, and then you get the second, and then the third.
And a simmering panic began to set in among residents. Realize that, at the time, we knew next to nothing about polio. It was still commonly called infantile paralysis, and no one knew how it spread.
And there's you find all sorts of stories in the newspaper of it could be airborne, it could be saliva, it could be in the drinking water, it could be anywhere.
Within weeks, Catawba County was in a full-blown epidemic. Public events were canceled. A quarantine went into effect for the city's children, and treatment was becoming harder and harder to find.
Most people were taking their children to the doctor.
Okay.
Some of them are bringing those children to Charlotte because Charlotte has a much larger hospital. And when they bring them down here, it doesn't take but a couple of weeks before Charlotte says, we really can't handle this influx of patients. So some of them are sent back home. Some of them, based upon the severity of the case, are helped. There's the orthopedic hospital in Gastonia. Some of them go there. But between Charlotte and Gastonia, they fill up pretty quickly. And that's what's going to drive people in Hickory to say, we've got to do something on our own.
Polio, you have to understand, can be devastating if left untreated. What starts out as a cold or a fever becomes the feeling of pins and needles in your legs. You feel weak, your muscles spasm, and within days or weeks, you'll become paralyzed, unable to walk, to move, and eventually unable to breathe. And how actually is polio spread?
Fecal material.
People didn't know it at the time, but a lot of the cases came from kids swimming in creeks or poorly treated swimming pools. Anyway, Hickory knew it had to do something. But what? Well, it came down to a group of medical professionals. One of them, Dr. Gaither Hahn, pinpointed some old buildings on the town's outskirts that were once a kid's summer camp. He said, "There, we need to convert these buildings into a hospital, quickly, and we need people to help." And perhaps unsurprisingly, the citizens of Hickory responded.
Between that Thursday morning and Saturday afternoon, people go in and completely convert that place into a usable hospital.
And who were these people?
Well, that's one of the interesting aspects to this story, is that these people are locals who are not panicked and who agree with Dr. Hahn that they've got to meet this emergency and this challenge, so that you get a company that's still in the area today, Herman Sipe Lumber, that comes in and begins to bring lumber to help build these buildings that you're going to need. You get a husband and wife architecture team in town that is going to come in and design what they need. And what the newspaper tends to report is that this unknown group of people just start showing up. And it's very subdued, very quiet, really somber. But they begin to come in and say, "What do you need?" And they put them to work. And over that 2.5 day period, they get enough of a functioning hospital that they can start treating patients.
Coming up, a miracle, if you want to call it that. That's ahead, after a short break.
Support for FAQ City comes from WFAE members and Tyndall Subaru Gastonia, featuring the new Outback with EyeSight safety technology that sees problems and initiates action to help avoid trouble. Details at TyndallSubaru.com. And on Facebook at Tyndall Subaru.
Hey, we're back. And before the break, we were talking about how the citizens of Hickory worked around the clock to piece together this emergency hospital for their children. They got the building ready for its first patients in under 3 days. And the work didn't stop there. When the call went out over the radio or in the paper, residents from around the county donated bed sheets, cribs, food, fans, all kinds of supplies, and at levels that surprised outsiders, including the National Organization for Infantile Paralysis, which had sent people to help out. Soon, the story of this small town going above and beyond was picked up by regional papers. Then Life magazine ran a photo spread, and a national newsreel was produced.
Last June, Hickory was dozing in the early summer sun, and then almost within the hour, fear and terror gripped the hearts of the people.
The short film featuring Hollywood actress Greer Garson was played around the country, getting people all over invested in the small town's plight.
Upon the quarters and dimes and dollars that you give now in this theater depends the happiness of some child somewhere tomorrow.
And before they knew what had happened, the citizens of Hickory had become nationally recognized in their spirited fight against a disease threatening their children. Another special thing to note about the town's hospital, both black and white children were admitted to the same wards and given the same care. Notable because this was the Jim Crow South.
The only segregation you saw in the wards was by age and gender.
Every kid who was brought to the hospital received treatment, and in the end, well, as if the town had willed it to happen, nearly every child at the hospital was able to recover. They lost only 12 of their 454 patients, giving the hospital a 97% success rate, which led people to call it a miracle. But Eller thinks that this qualifies as a miracle, perhaps in another way.
Miracle's a funny word in that I think it really just shows what we can do when we are pushed because of an emergency. Do miracles happen when people need them? Yes. And if that's what you want to call it, I think it's just the better side of our humanity.
I'm wondering what it is about this story that has fascinated you so much, because you know, you've done a lot of research on this story. You've gone out and retold this story over and over again in public. You're here with me right now in a studio retelling the story once again. So what is it about the story that, you know, you feel is so important that keeps drawing you back to it?
It's my belief in humanity, that we can be good and cooperative and helpful when we need to be. Because you don't see that a lot. And whether you define it as a miracle or not, it is something that humans can do for each other that is really empowering. It's really helpful to believe that your fellow man would do that for you, or that you would do that for your fellow man, because you don't see that a lot. And I haven't come to a complete answer. When we're pushed against the wall, it shows what we can do for each other. And that's affirming about life.
Austin, I hope that's a satisfactory retelling of the story. Thank you so much for the question. Since we first aired this story in May 2019, the City of Hickory has commissioned a new mural in downtown commemorating the event, and they're also constructing a memorial on the site of the hospital, which no longer stands. You can also learn more about the event at the Hickory History Center. Well, if your idea of reigning in the new year includes getting smarter about local history, food, recycling, or anything that people are wondering about in the Charlotte area, make sure you're subscribed to the FAQ City podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or the NPR One app. And if you have a question you'd like us to investigate it, submit it at wfae.org/FAQCity, and we may search for an answer on an upcoming episode. Until then, I'm Nick Della Canale.
Support for FAQ City comes from WFAE members and Bojangles. For over 40 years, Charlotte-based Bojangles has provided biscuits from scratch, hand-breaded fried chicken, and freshly steeped iced tea. More info on the 48-step biscuit-making process at BojanglesBiscuits.com.